Directive 305. Written by Kerthwin and read by Litra as the narrator.
Mahon Ondine as Dr. Leonard McCoy and Lieutenant Commander Montgomery Scott.
Chap S. Human Morishka Serra. Lieutenant Hikaru Sulu.
Chinky O. Reading Ensign Pavel Chekhov.
Cece Rambles as Dr. Helen Noel and Commander Spock.
Adgiad SLV as Nurse Ensign Christine Chapel.
Tipsy Kitty as Vincent DeSalle.
Epaulets as Nyota Uhura and Colonist.
Rena Jenkins as Captain James T. Kirk and Carolyn Palamas. The story was recorded as part of Voice Team 2020.
A Star Trek The Original Series fanfic. Rated Teen. Summary. Sex pollen is so inevitable that Starfleet has guidelines for dealing with such things. After the third, or fourth, or eighth encounter with beings, substances, and or circumstances that affected crew members in a significant fashion, Starfleet instituted protocols dealing with the aftereffects. As exploration across the galaxy continued, this directive would be called upon with considerable frequency. An indication of how startlingly often Starfleet officers encountered situations that lowered their inhibitions and clouded their collective judgment. Putting the directive into practice required extraordinary understanding and patience on the part of all involved. The directive was intended to address a multitude of circumstances, but it quickly became known in common usage as the sex pollen rules. Directive 305. Instructions regarding aftercare for crew members subject to events involving anomalous physical or mental influence. For the purpose of this directive, event refers to direct influence by any substance or effect, including but not limited to alien mind-body possession, biological imperatives, mind control, and exposure to pheromones, chemicals, or other inciting factors. See Starfleet Medical Protocols, Regulations 201 through 212, and related articles. Resulting in behavior for which a crew member cannot be deemed responsible, as determined by a physician's or psychiatric specialist's judgment. 1. Affected crew members must be examined by a ship's physician as soon as possible after the event concludes. No crew member affected by the event may return to active duty without the chief medical officer's clearance. 1A. Unaffected crew members who were otherwise involved must be examined by a ship's physician as soon as possible after the event concludes. Duty status shall be at the attending physician's direction. 2. Affected crew members must speak with a ship's counselor and or other qualified specialist as soon as possible after the event concludes. Affected crew members are required to attend no less than one such session, with additional sessions at the counselor's or specialist's judgment. No crew member affected by the event may return to active duty without the counselor's or specialist's clearance. 2A. Unaffected crew members who were otherwise involved are encouraged to speak with a ship's counselor and or other qualified specialist as soon as possible after the event concludes. Duty status shall be at the attending specialist's direction. 2B. Starfleet recognizes that such an event may result in significant physical and emotional consequences for those involved. Additional counseling and therapy will be made available to all crew members as they or their physicians or specialists deem necessary. Particular attention must be given to interactions between individuals that may directly or indirectly affect crew morale and or efficiency. 2C. Pursuant to Section 2B, any crew member subject to such an event may request a transfer to another department or another ship, with no penalty to his, her, or its career. Such requests must be expedited to the best of the commanding officer's ability, in conjunction with all Starfleet guidelines regarding transfer of personnel. 3. Contingent on Sections 1 and 2, and all attendant subsections, and subject to the physician's or specialist's judgment, any crew member may be placed on temporary medical leave until cleared to return to duty. 3A. Contingent on Sections 1 and 2, and all attendant subsections, and subject to the physician's or specialist's judgment, any crew member may be encouraged to take voluntary temporary medical leave until such time as he, she, or it deems necessary in consultation with a physician or specialist. 4. Actions taken under the direct influence of such an event are to be expunged from the official record, with no action taken against that crew member. 4A. Any crew member held accountable for his, her, or its actions, in spite of this directive, may file an official petition for review by an independent arbiter. A petition for review may likewise be filed if a crew member believes he, she, or it has been subject to such an event contrary to the attending physician's or specialist's judgment. Case file. Omicron SETI 3. USS Enterprise, stardate 3417.
Chief Medical Officer's Report. Dr. Leonard McCoy, Chief Medical Officer, USS Enterprise, reporting in regard to the events of stardate 3417.3-3417.7 on Omicron SETI 3. See the attached reports re the spores encountered on planet and the events therein. The entire crew was affected, so the required post-event physical exams took several days. The 150 colonists removed from Omicron SETI 3 were examined as well. Physicians McCoy, Mbenga, and Sanchez performed the exams, aided by medical assistants Brent, Connors, and Tracy. Head nurse Christine Chapel organized the order of examinations and ensured that all crew members received a proper and thorough debrief, including those most reluctant to participate. Dr. Helen Noel and her assistants performed the psychological evaluations. The effect of the spores included overall euphoria and contentment, markedly different from the manic depressive effects of polywater intoxication. See report stardate 1704.2. This induced state of well-being resulted in general physical relaxation such that, hell with us, I'll clean it up later. Basically, everyone was too blissed out to make trouble, including me. Crew being crew, there were some minor cuts and bruises, mostly involving brushes with plant life. One sprained ankle, a strained shoulder muscle from an overly ambitious attempt at farming. No significant injuries, which is pretty fortunate considering we were all wandering around down there like happy zombies. Some happier than others. Definitely edit that part. Pretty much any time a crew is exposed to inhibition-lowering events, significant sexual contact is going to occur. In this case, again, considering the relatively gentle nature of the spore's effects, no one engaged in markedly rough or injurious activity. All contraceptive implants were confirmed to be up to date. A few crew members were treated for minor genital chafing. Dr. Noel will speak further to this point in her report, but all liaisons were reported and observed to be consensual and informed within the parameters of the influence of the spores. With one possible exception, not that he'd ever admit it, damn his Vulcan hide. Edit that too. Or Chris will fix it as usual. It is worth noting that the colonists retained their extraordinary health, even without the spores. For follow-up, before we left Omicron SETI 3, we beamed aboard a number of the plants in stasis. Given proper precautions, they're worth examining as a potential therapeutic tool. Might be worth having around in case of aggressive influences, too.
Psychiatrist's report. Dr. Helen Noel, psychiatrist, USS Enterprise, reporting in regard to the events of Stardate 3417.3-3417.7 on Omicron SETI 3, addendum to the Chief Medical Officer's report. See the attached report regarding the spores encountered on planet and the events therein. The psychoactive effect of the spores induced a strong sense of well-being and contentment. A number of crew members expressed regret at losing that sense of contentment and remembered the experience fondly. By all accounts, the spores didn't compel anyone to do anything they didn't want to do. They did relax the crew's inhibitions considerably, resulting in a number of liaisons that might not have occurred otherwise. It is worth noting, however, that there were no complaints or objections to sexual partners in retrospect, aside from some minor embarrassment. Ongoing counseling is scheduled for those who feel the mediation necessary to ensure effective continuing relationships with their fellow crew members. Despite the general order for crew members to report on their experiences, Commander Spock, as expected, invoked privacy protocols.
Excerpts from Private Examinations. Standard confidentiality strictures apply. Records may not be accessed without the patient's consent or unless requisitioned as a matter of Starfleet security.
Captain James T. Kirk. I don't think I broke free from the spores because I was stronger-willed than anyone else. Clearly, that's not true when you consider all the extraordinary individuals who serve aboard the Enterprise. I just happened to be in a position where outside stimuli could snap me out of it. I was looking at the medals, thinking about all the good that this ship has done, and I realized we wouldn't be able to do any more good if we were all stuck on a single planet. Most of us join Starfleet because we can't stand still. That's when I got angry and the spores influence vanished. I can't believe anyone would willingly choose that kind of false paradise. The whole point of being human is that we're constantly trying to make ourselves better. Development as individuals and as a society can't be granted, only earned.
Commander Spock. No interview on file since the commander invoked Vulcan privacy protocols. However, the bridge recorder distinctly captured Mr. Spock telling the captain, "For the first time in my life, I was happy." Dr. Noel. Continued surreptitious monitoring recommended.
Forget it, Helen. You'll get more blood out of the proverbial stone. Dr. Leonard McCoy, Chief Medical Officer. I suppose it says something profound about my psychological makeup that, given paradise, all I wanted was to sit under a shady tree with a mint julep. Tell you something funny in retrospect. Whatever I used in that drink didn't taste like mint at all. Or bourbon, for that matter. But I didn't care at the time. Lieutenant Commander Montgomery Scott. Well, now, that wasn't the worst possible stopover, was it? A little bit of peace and quiet never did anyone much harm. Who wouldn't have wanted much more of that, though? They didn't have any proper alcohol down there, either. Though I bet I could have brewed something special out of those daft plants. I might have gotten a wee bit friendly with that science officer, Carolyn Palamas. Lovely lass. Would it be improper to ask her to get a coffee sometime?
Lieutenant Nyota Uhura. It felt great, Doctor. Peaceful. Tranquil. I wouldn't like to spend my whole life there, but it was a nice change for a while. It's good to experience a little bit of paradise on occasion. Reminds us what we're doing out here, when space turns cold. I did think about finding Mr. Sulu and getting another look at his naked chest. And other things. We're already friends. And ever since that time he grabbed me. Anyway, it's just as well I didn't, since we worked together on the bridge. Chris Chappell and I found a lake and went skinny dipping. It was a perfectly lovely afternoon. But I'm glad to be home.
Reference note, Re-Sulu. See the Polywater Incident of 1704.2.
Lieutenant Hikaru Sulu. I like plants as a hobby, but farming? As a career? No thanks. I remember being happy with my hands on a spade, rather than a starship's control. Mind control for sure. I might be rethinking that hobby, too. I still need to talk to human Zara about what happened on planet. Funny thing is, Mary and I had already been spending time together over the last few weeks. Nothing serious. So that part of it felt completely normal.
Lieutenant Carolyn Pavamas. Yes, it's fine. I understand that I need to report all sexual contact. No, I don't blame Mr. Scott. I don't foresee any difficulty working with him in the future.
Lieutenant Vincent DeSalle. I was the one who brought the plants to Dr. McCoy, so in a way it's my fault the rest of the ship got infected. Sure, I know I wasn't responsible for my actions. It's a terrible feeling, knowing you were out of control of your own mind and body. I didn't like it when Trelane did it to me, and I don't like it now.
Personnel note. DeSalle transferred off the Enterprise shortly after this incident, citing the penchant for this particular ship to encounter beings and circumstances that exert undue physical or mental influence.
Nurse, Ensign, Christine Chapel. Of course, I couldn't help wondering. What if it had been me down there with Mr. Spock instead of Ms. Colomi? It would have been a lie, I know that. I still can't help wondering.
Ensign Pavel Chekhov. I am new to ship, so when senior officer says beam down to planet, I beam down to planet. It was nice, like being on collective in Russia. But I left home for Starfleet because I wanted to see galaxy, not be stuck working crops on alien planet.
Human Morishka Sarah. I'll take mind-control happy plants over neural parasites any day. I just... This is confidential, right? I'd been thinking about breaking up with Hikaru before this happened. No particular reason. It just feels like the affair has run its course. Maybe it'd be kinder if he thinks it's because of the plants.
Elias Sandoval, colonist. Excuse me, I'm still terribly angry, mostly. 3 years! What a terrible waste.
The end.